Cedars?
Manitoba.
Manitoba. My dad's name was Philip.
Philip Kipling?
Kipling.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, Victoria Kipling.
What was your mother's maiden name?
She was,
Well, think of it later.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in St. Peter's.
Oh, yeah. What grade school?
Oh, I only went to grade four.
It's not too efficient. Oh, I wanted to ask you, when were you born?
July the 16th.
What year?
1916.
Did your dad have a little farm or
something like
that? Yeah, he had a farm. How'd he make up? Did he have a hard time?
Well, it's pretty tough going, but still he made a living anyway.
Was he great vegetables or was it more?
No, more vegetables.
More vegetables.
Yeah.
And I suppose you had to work on it, eh?
Oh, yes.
I suppose that's why you quit school, eh?
That's why I had to pull out and work somewhere else on different farmers. And,
yeah, you had to try to make a go.
Yeah, try to make a go.
Yeah. Now, tell me, so actually you would classify yourself, that when you joined up, you would classify yourself as a farmer.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Farm worker.
Mm-hmm.
And were you married then?
No.
No. Well, what did you join first? What made you join?
Well, I figured I had to join the Army and I volunteered for it, and so doing my King and Country with the men, sure, that's why I joined.
And how old, I mean, what did you do? Was that 1939?
No, it's 1941.
1941.
Yeah.
And what were you in before the, you said you were in something else first?
Well, I joined up in Port Arthur. I was out looking for work at the time, and just one day we were walking down the street, sidewalk. So I seen a sign on the, I was not another friend of ours. Well, the work was just starting to come on then, you know,
yeah.
41 minutes. So I said, look here, recruits want it. So he just looked at me and I said, okay, let's go on.
Just like that.
And that was the Winnipeg Rifles.
Oh.
So then when they sent shippers to the Winnipeg, they transferred into the Camerons, different guys, some from Nova Scotia, all different parts. So, then we're in the Cameron, Queenstown Camerons.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for till that fall, late that fall. And they wanted volunteers for this Winnipeg Grenadiers.
So you
transferred into them.
Now, what type of training did you have? You weren't in very long, eh?
No, not too long. We've done some basic training in that.
Marching.
So.
Anything on guns?
Well, we had all our training on this, like machine guns and different things. You had to take them apart and name them apart. And so on.
How'd you like it?
I liked it fine.
Mm-hmm. You liked the Army?
Yeah, I did.
Most of the fellows did, you know.
Yes.
Now, when you joined up, did you think you were going to go to Middle East, or were you thinking of England?
I was really thinking of England, but went the other way. I figured, well, it's a different place altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what made me think that, but it worked out.
So, when you got on the boat, what did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was okay. Still all right.
Did you have any worries or fears that something was going to come?
No, I didn't. No, I never had any. No, so we stayed up, pulled out maybe a couple of miles out, I don't know how far out. We stayed over till overnight and then we started sailing the next morning. And we ended up in, first went to Hawaii. On, I think, to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Then to Manila, and then to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. I think it was about 21 days, I'm pretty sure, somewhere around there.
And How'd you like that building?
Oh, it's all right. Australian ship it was. About years.
That's good. Did you get seasick, or did you like
sailing? No, I didn't get seasick. Well, I felt sort of sick one day there. Anyway, I got over it. But it was all right. The trip was okay.
When you arrived at Hong Kong, what did you think of the place?
Well, I didn't care too much about the place. There's many, the first time in places like that, you see all the clothes and stuff hanging out from windows and that, and well, there's a lot of Chinamen. But after a while, I didn't mind the place.
I suppose you'd never seen so many people,
though. No.
After being raised out on the prairie.
yeah. So then we marched down to our barracks. That was in Kowloon, at the place where the barracks was. So then we stayed. I don't know how long we were there before the war started, but. Be a month or so was about all.
What company were you testing?
A company.
Who was your platoon?
Osborne was coming to Sergeant Major, or Company okay. Sergeant Major.
Oh, yes.
John Osborne.
Oh, yes. He got the VC.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you go into Hong Kong and look the town over?
Yes, we did. We had a fairly good time before the war. So everything was cheap, like buying drinks and that, different things. So then we, I think it was on the 8th of December, I'm not quite positive, but I think it was around the 8th, the time of the war. I remember we were having breakfast, it was a Sunday morning, I'm pretty sure that it was Sunday. Heard the siren go, and we never expected that. So somebody said the war is on, so I think Gillis. So now we're having breakfast, and the guy says, well, one of them says the war is on. He said, I don't care if the war is on or not, I'm still going to finish my breakfast. I remember that. So then I remember one morning went up there. I think it was Sergeant. Webster. I think it was the one. We're in a trench there one morning, and he said, "There's about 100 Japs over here, so we're going to just clean them, wipe them out." So that's the time we went down there. A company went. Osborne wasn't too far away from me when I started throwing. Some guys get too excited and. Pin like on a grenade, you see. Mm-hmm. You count so many seconds, I think it's 7 seconds, and you toss them over. But still, before that, we're all surrounded anyway. They're coming from all sides and machine gun firing. So we had to evacuate from there, and a few guys got wounded in that. So when we run into them again, you see, they're coming from all sides. Had no chance whatever. I think it was Major Grissom was there, and he was up on the hill. The chap shot him. So I remember they were yelling on the other side of the hill, and never came over just to the pastor.
And how about you? What were you doing? Were you shooting, running a gun, or what?
Yes, I had a rifle. So then they said, well, started throwing the grenades over too fast, and then the Japs would throw them back, you see. Keep throwing them back like that. And I remember this Osborne, where he jumped on the grenades. A grenade he jumped on. So that's where he got killed.
He did that to save the other guy?
I think so. Because I don't. So then, well, that was it there. We had the guy said, well, this a Jap never takes a prisoner. So the guy started going, and their arms down, so that's the one. There's three of us there left. That was Oaks and I think a guy called Bradbury Hammond. So then I pulled the bolt out and said, well, I'll throw the rifle around. Done. And there was there's three of us there, and there's about four Japs stand up near a building there, and just waved their hand to come. So I never understood what to, so couldn't understand them the way they speak Japs. The first guy come, he didn't have no helmet or nothing on. It's Bradbury, Maurice ahead. So the guy picks up a plank, it's like a something like a 2x6, and he hits him right over the top of the head, you know. So he dropped, and the next guy was Oaks. When the Jap gets hold of a shovel and hit him on right across the back, he just yelled and dropped. So there's another Jap standing on the other side, he had a rifle, and he just waved his hand over to me. So when I walked right up to him, he took his bayonet to me. I was looking at it right in front of me, but then I was scared, sure, but...
Did he hit you yet?
No, he didn't. He just put his rifle down, and he gave me a push and told me to go down, and the rest of the guys ran down.
How about Bradbury and Oaks, did they?
Well, they were laying there last, I don't know, but it's a mix-up. I didn't know what happened, but I think they were around after a while anyway. I just...
You think they got away?
I think they did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did. Because I don't remember seeing them after that. It could be, but I forget now.
Did you... what kind of rifle were you shooting with?
Lee and Peel.
Was it a good
303, yes.
I bet you're a pretty good shot. You shot before, most like you've been hunting in that.
Oh, yes, I was.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the Jap rifle? Somebody told me it was a better rifle.
I don't know. I don't... It was a smaller rifle than what size it would be, but I never...
It wasn't as big as yours?
No, it wasn't.
Those Japs were good fighters, then.
Well, they were, yeah. I think it's smart.
So this took place, and then what happened?
So we went down the hill, and then they had us all lined up. There's a few. They had some machine guns there, net, and so they took wire and tied us with our hands all back, like this, all lined us up. Had the wire so tight, you know. There's no circulation here. Really tough. We stood there for quite a long time. So they put us in the shack there. Well, what got us mostly was the dry, you know. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't give us water. I don't want to give us something else. It didn't taste it anymore. It's kind of like salty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They put that in a can, you see, and give us a sip of it. Water, so we'll wait till the next day or something. Till the march is down.
Was there any bombarding done that night?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that night there was. Yeah, I remember the time the roof. It was a pointed roof like this here. We had the table. The table and we're all pretty well cramped up in the place. So finally they untied us away. Then I heard there's a mortar. I could hear the whistling. And she hit part of the roof, knocked a piece out of it. So the next one hit about right in the center of the roof. So I just threw my arms like this, and I was leaning on the table. So then I come to. I had all this wood or something in my head, you know, all the spinners off the roof. And
but you thought you were hit, eh?
Well, I was hit, but just a little bit, and then I'm on the leg here. It's still a little strapped on the leg yet. It's not bad.
Where'd you get that? In that shed? Chaff?
Yeah, I did.
You got that in the shed? Were any of the guys around you?
Yeah, there's MacKillop. I remember him. He was an officer. He got hit pretty bad. And some other different guys, I forget their names, but names now. And I know that this Cooper, a young kid, was there. And I looked back because I seen a guy just passing out, you know, and he had part of his neck all blown off. But this MacKillop, he was a limb on his table, and wouldn't believe, but his table was like being shot through with a shotgun or something. It was like paper, I mean, it was all holes all through the place. And there was blood against the wall, I remember that. I don't know how many was killed, and I just can't tell you exactly how many it was. But I know the next day, while we marched down to the waterfront, it's Hong Kong Harbor there. And some guys couldn't make it. It's either tied us up again, it's them wire, and keep meeting Japs, and then they had a rifle, and they got manning or something. Well, you'd throw your head through that. And some couldn't make it, so they just made them right there and took them out of land. So, but this young officer there, MacKillop, he made her, but I don't know how he did, because he's got part of the holes through the back here, and that's what he made her down as far as the waterfront that night, that evening on Stephen's shack there near the waterfront. And he was all full of holes. So he was laying on this kind of a bench or something. He was laying there, and he passed away that night.
And yet he managed to survive, walk
all that way. So he must have been tough, really. So, and the next day they took us across the other side to Edson Colum, said the mainland. Our own barracks, it's right to this. No, I guess I'm not a that my story. We stayed in Hong Kong, it's right at North Point, a small little place, and we stayed there for a few months away. I don't know how long it was.
What day were you captured? Do you remember when it was?
Pretty sure it was in the 19th December, 1941.
Did they put you to work helping with their battle at all, or did they just lock you up?
Well, they put us to work later.
No, but not during the battle.
No, not.
They put some of the guys to work just to carry them ammo.
Eminent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. At the waterfront, we did. Yeah, they
yeah.
And just carry this stuff, a few on the boat or something. I remember that. No. Mm-hmm.
They put you to work, right?
Yeah.
What did you think of them? You must have been scared,
eh? Well, I was certainly scared, too.
Yeah,
I was. Because they're really mean. To me, they weren't even like human at all. At least some people you see, what I heard, like Germans and that, they're pretty tough in places. The guys over, you know, in prison war camps, but there's a lot of them is pretty good, too. They treat them.
Pretty fair, civil.
Yeah. But it's Japs, they seem to be all the one. I'm telling you, I've never seen one that's any good, you know, to be.
They just seem to have a meanness.
Yeah, all right through.
Of course, they were trained for that.
Oh, they were, yes. They were trained for that. Yes, so we went to our barracks, and everything was all taken out of it, stripped everything. So then we had these bunks that make one bunk all the way on the side of the wall, right through, just like and hard, like some kind of a mat or something on it. So that's where we'd sleep. But nothing to do for a while, it's yet it's made worse never. And then you got your rice, and it wasn't. You didn't really have enough to eat. Well, guys got sick and that, and some of them, about five, some of them would die in the day. For a while, they got this diphtheria and dysentery. I never got diphtheria, but I had this dysentery, you know. So that was pretty tough there. But then, and we got this from malnutrition. Your feet all swelled up, puffed straight up, you know, and just hot, you know. And that's it really is drove some guys pretty near out of their mind.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I had that.
That's all caused from the diet.
That's what it is from, I think. only way you'd get relief a little bit was to put your feet in the water, you know. Feel the water and sleep over the month like that. But it seemed to be after you take out of the water, if your feet out of the water, it seemed to be made it worse, never, you know. Somehow or another, you know, she just throw up at all time, he can stick it. So then they took us over to a place there, supposed to make it like a little hospital, but it was just a damn small place. Well, I was really sick, but on me there's a lot of guys sick. Rifles, Winnipeg, Royal Rifles, again, a few of them, was in this place. They'd bring us a little bit of rice in there, just like slop or something, you know. But I couldn't eat anyway at the time, if you had brought me the best of stuff, I was so weak I could hardly make it to the washroom, just carrying my, I'm just talking about myself, because a lot of other guys, you know. But one morning I felt hungry, you see, and from then on I came out of it. I just started eating, yeah.
You pulled yourself together.
Yeah.
Just for like a little miracle.
Yeah, that's right. So from then on, well, I was back in the call to lions again, the barracks.
Tell me, were you a strong man when you joined up?
Well, I think I fairly was.
You were pretty strong man. And yeah, you led a very healthy life.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was healthy.
You had good food when you were a child.
Yes,
like
that's
that.
Right.
So you feel...
I've been working on farms, and then I was in bush cutting, pulp cutting and all that stuff. So I was always used to hard work, and then I was in pretty good shape all the time. We're there and start working out in the airport. Guys working on the airport, and that's for the Japs, you see. So all we had is rice, a little bit of rice, some kind of seaweed, you'd call it, some kind of a little bit of fish, very small piece of fish. And the guys in a little better shape. Well, I shipped us to Japan, you see. Different camps in Japan.
What did you do on the airport?
Well, we had something like a cart or a wagon, and we're building up the airport. We're digging on this kind of a hill there for sand and different. And we're down at a track, like, they're building or fixing the airport up. So, it's pretty hard, you didn't feel like doing it, but you had to do it, or else, you know.
Of course, would you rather work than stay around camp? Do you think it was better?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. When you went out, well, you'd have a little more to eat. You went out to work, like,
yeah.
You know, a little more, but that's not very much more either. So, then from there, the guys in better shape, but some stayed in Hong Kong, and then they shipped one draft out to Japan. So then I went on the second draft. There's an old ship that put us down there, it was coal or something in it, I don't know. But they had down the hatch, and just put us down in there, all cramped up, you just sit there. And once in a while they'd bring down some rice, you know. Dark in there, and hot. There's some guys passing out. I don't know where they. Cat, there's the.
Want to slow that down?
Yeah, should.
Yes. Yeah. I'll turn it
on. I think we're stopping at some port while the war's on and everything yet. So the Americans have been, they wouldn't even know we're on a ship like that. They come along, maybe some guys said, well, we'll never make it to Japan, you know.
You were thinking of
getting Yeah.
Did
so,
they let you out of this hatch?
Yeah, but every hour or so in the night they let us out for so long, about an hour, I guess. Remember that? And put us down again. So we stopped at one port there, I don't know how long we were, maybe about 16 days or something, we're in this. Couldn't maybe it's not that long, but I think it was. So for some guys to see, well, you never make it. Well, I said, we'll make it anyway. I said, it's no use to talk that way because, you know, look on the bright side, don't look on the dark side. Because but sure, we're sure glad. I don't care where it was. Japan was glad to get off the ship anyway.
How about your eyesight when the diamonds? Well, when you saw sunshine, that would
have been. Yeah, it seemed to. Yeah, it would follow your eyesight. Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
They didn't feed you good on the ship?
No. Just rice and that. So.
How many men do you think were in that gift?
Oh, my goodness. That's you got me. It might be 50 or more, 100. I don't know what it was. Yet.
Quite a few.
So then this ship, we got on a train, a small train there. No, I forget about what port it was where we landed in Japan, but it was, I can't think of the name of the place, just right offhand. But anyway, we went, they had all the clothes in the train, so might have been there a couple of days when we got on the train.
Did they feed you when you arrived?
Yeah, they fed us. They had this little box. It's like a berry box, you know, them small.
Yes.
Very well. When this Jap came in, he said, "Supper time, boys." You know, it's the first time I heard speak English in the Jap. Mm-hmm. So they come handing out these boxes to us, little, and they give us water. Opened up this little rice, and then your two chopsticks. And there's something rolled up with seaweed, you know, like it's just like a, looked like rye to me at the time. So there's our supper, so we had. And when I got off this train, went to Nagara, and they had everything all set for us. We got to like drums outside. I remember that. We had, some of them didn't have mess tins, they had just cans or anything. And they had it all cooked up, everything. It's like you're cooking for pigs or something. To remind me, you know.
Yeah.
Just like that. So they were dishing out this stuff to us. Sunday we go out and line up again, maybe get the second helping. So then we worked there and worked.
What type of work they put you to?
Well, I was working on in the docks, like the stevedore work, unloading ships and carrying rice and different things. Unloading iron.
Pig iron.
Pig iron, yeah.
How'd you like it? Better than you think than the airport?
Well, I think it was because, I think it was better. Yeah. Oh, it was because you'd have, they'd give us a little extra out. The first time I carried this rice, I went on and made it a whole just a little ways and I couldn't take it. You know, it's 2 weeks, you see. But then they gave us a little extra on the job. They have a big pot there and they'd cook up whatever they could find. And they had this soybeans. I think that's really helped.
Oh, that did help.
Yeah. And we had our own rice we'd bring from the camp. You see the rice. Make a bigger meal and then you felt, got stronger after somehow.
Build up your strength.
Built up.
How'd they treat you, the guys who were supervising you on the docks?
Oh, they were pretty mean. You had to do your work, just keep working, that's all. Because if you're out of line a little bit, well, they'd really get after you. And then a lot of times said, here, get out. So we had these little bags. We have a column of looping bags. And we'd, you see, there's some guys that were working in coal yards and that. Well, they had it, I think, tougher than we did.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have no place to. Nothing to steal. At least we have sometimes fish or something like that, or rice we take, you see.
Sneak it on.
But sometimes, some days we're working on like machinery and that. And that's the time we'd steal this rice if we had a chance. And we had these putties on, you know, putties here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always put a big, like a coveralls on top of that. Because we'd take something, we'd steal this rice and cash it someplace the next day and then take them into camp. But they got caught onto that, and then they had searches in camp, so that's where they had to be. But but we had a different way of doing it. We just open our pants and get the straw bag or something, and if you had a chance, you'd open your, let the race run between your legs here, and then hold the race in here. But sometimes you'd have to work about a printer all day like that, because sometimes in the morning you'd have a chance to stick with the stones. So then when we get back to camp, we'd stick the putties off, and at that number think of searching here is one thing they never thought of doing, you see.
They never thought of searching below your knees?
No. But they'd always, you know, hear something like that, but that's what we got away with that.
Did you ever get caught?
Oh, I got caught, yeah.
What they do then?
I got better on it. I still have some marks in the head there. It could be that they had like a form or something, they'd have a little stick, you know, a little hardwood. Mm-hmm. And you'd get caught, well, he'd give you a few bangs of that or all.
They seem to go for the head, eh?
Yeah. So I remember one time I was working in a car again when the spout coming in, there were the runs and something like running and grain in the place, working in that. I had this loading bag and I filled it up with rice, so I got out. Taking hide it over some place and had a coat I threw it over, and one of the civilians I think it was, he saw me with this thing. Told the foreman. So we had a group leader, we'd have a group leader, so many men, you know. There's a guy from Sauber came back, cause what he passed away, it's about a month before the war is over. He's quite a big guy. So this guy says, Nanda, you know, he says, come, what's wrong? He knew something. He called me back, and I knew I was caught, and so I came back. Took me up to this group leader, he told him to give me a going over, you see. So they thought quite a bit of the guy, this horse. So he says, I can't do this, I wouldn't do it. So he turned around at me, then he's his hand, you know, and he started banging over the face. The chap did so. He says, will you do it again? Well, I said, no, I'll not do it again, but still, if I had a chance, I'd do it again.
Your fingers crossed.
Yeah. So, I just said, when the camp, there's a Royal Rifle. It was a part of the snow on the ground, you know, snow. It wasn't really cold, but cold enough when you didn't have the right kind of food or anything. But you had the shorts on and then bare feet, you know, just a short sleeve shirt. I remember he stole a carriage or something like that. It was part of our rations. He got caught, and then the chaps took him out and just drew a post in the ground there and had a chain and just left him there. And every morning we'd line up in front of the guy, you know, and oh, it looked, felt pretty bad about what he could do. He couldn't. He was all right for a while, and finally went out of his mind, I guess. He sat him down there and left his name down, and they took him in. When he died, he's hands are all frozen. Feet, I guess he got pneumonia in that. And died. Yeah. So that's just how.
That was a real lesson to you guys.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
But it didn't stop you guys from trying to scrounge, did it?
No. No, that's not.
Did you get paid for your dock work?
Oh, yeah, I suppose to get so many yen there. He could buy, like, suppose he has cigarettes and that, but not very often. Tobacco. It wasn't stuff like this, it was something just like here, you know. I don't know what kind of stuff it was. But you didn't get too much of it either. Once in a while, I'd give you a few cigarettes, but not too much. I know some guys would have, some guy didn't smoke, and then they would trade us couple of cigarettes for like grasshoppers, somebody would have grasshoppers, you know, like big barrels, and they'd give you so much, a couple of spoons each. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would trade you for a couple of cigarettes for his grasshoppers.
Did you eat
those guys? Oh, yes, if you're hungry, you'd eat. Mm-hmm. I know some days would be out, I was telling you out at work, we'd have this one day that's old, must have been about 90, I guess. It's really hot. And the Jap once, well, before we'd, it's about 3 miles to go to work, I guess. And so there's a guy, he said he wants two men. Ni mei, that's two men, he wants two guys. He brought a big dog there, so he said he got killed with a train, I don't know what it was. The guy that, the thinnest guy in the place or something like that, he was too much work, they'd have him for the cook, you see, he'd have all these beans soaked up for the night ahead, you know, like next day, well, there's, he'd cook the beans. So they brought this dog and he wanted two guys, a guy to help him skin it. At dinner time, when we come in, you could smell that meat, you know, it smelled pretty good, too, but to cut it up in small pieces, put it in the beans.
It didn't turn your nose up then?
No. Tastes good too. At that time. But like now, I couldn't eat it. Look at it, I couldn't.
No.
And I remember one time, and the Japs took the best part of the dog too, the Jap officers and that, they took hindquarters and that, gave us the rest of it, so much a day.
So
and
the Japs themselves didn't have that much food, eh?
No, it didn't seem to be, no. It didn't, because. And once they gave us again, there were 7 cats they gave us, like the old cat and so many kittens. Yes, it was pretty.
Did you have a garden or anything?
No, not that part. They had some out there, the Japs did have some. But we never had no. We work every day.
Did you get
raccoon parcel? Well, it's about 4 years or there. I guess we got about 4 of them. On that camp, in a way. Mm-hmm. About 4 Red Cross parcels.
Well, that's more than some got, eh?
Yeah, that's
true. How about me?
Yeah, I got a letter. I got a letter from home once, so.
And did your family know you were alive?
They didn't know, no. No, not until the war was over.
They never received word from you.
No, I wrote letters back, but they never got. No.
So, what did you do in camp? Tell me, besides living each day, what did you get out of it?
Well, we would play cards and that one thing and that like that. That's what all we'd do. Of course, we kept quite busy. We'd work every day.
Oh yes, you worked hard.
Worked every day, yeah. So that's.
How'd you make up for shoes and clothing and that?
Oh, well, they gave us Jap clothing, Jap uniforms and shoes, boots and that. And one time they gave us these straw boots, you know, straw. And there's some snow on the ground, it's around March, kind of warmed up. You know, after a walk on the wet, they soaked and it got stretched them wide, you know, not big, you know. But they give us leather shoes then. Yeah. But in this, we had our number, like my number was 183. And you're supposed to be resting to each, like the 30th of the month, the 30th or something like that, you know. Go by your last number. You stay in camp and then you clean up around. So, you had to catch these flies, 70 flies before you got your supper. And you know, some days it is pretty tough getting them. Have a swatter and walk around. And you had to put them in a little package and take up to the camp commandant. He'd count them out, take all the trouble to count them. So one day I figured, well, it's pretty tough getting these flies. There's some small ones and there's bigger. I took a fly and I made what a one fly I'd make two, you know, throw them in all and mix them up so that I can get away with it. He started to count them up. By God, he found this fly. Well, I have to go back and get the other rest. Otherwise, I wouldn't get them to eat.
That was stupid.
Oh, ever.
Why do you think they did those things? Because you think it was a form of meanness?
I think so, I guess. You couldn't make not even a motion or anything to lift your hand, raise your hand or anything, to hit one guy or something like that. He'd report you away into the camp commandant. Well, it'd be too bad. I know there's some guys that got beat up so bad that they're still in the hospital there and they're liberated. Just over.
Were any of the interpreters, anybody in the camp, have decency?
There were some, not very many of them. There's people they couldn't understand, I don't know. Sometimes they'd give you a cigarette, and the other time they could turn around and kill you right away if they had. Just turn like that. Or most of the time they're pretty mean. Yeah.
How'd your health stay up in Japan?
Not too bad. I felt better there in Hong Kong.
Do you think you're a person that does better in cold weather?
I think so. It is more of a tropical place in Hong Kong. Because a lot of times if you had a bath or something, well, just shortly you could disrupt the stuff right off.
Sweat.
Skin, like, just tell. I know in Japan, for a couple of months there, we didn't have enough. We're just laying on the floor, and that's, no beds. And we'd come along in the morning and we'd all be pretty tired and they'd have this rifle and you'd keep waking up, get up and just have a time to wash your hands as well and have your rice and then you'd go to work. Never changed anything for about a couple of months where the lice were just, you could push your hand down like this, pull the lice out of your body. Even we had some packs in the corner, remember that? We had packs piled there and them on the blanket, and the lice were crawling all over the damn blanket. Yeah.
Were you the first people in that camp?
I think we were the first, yeah. Sure.
How'd you heat your camp?
They had wood there. A little stove I drove over and built on the sand like this, and you had to make a fire.
And where'd you get your wood?
Well, it's about a half a mile away. We carried the wood there. About half a mile from the camp.
So it was still pretty cold, I suppose.
Yeah, it's cold enough.
Did you make friends with any of the civilians on the docks? Did they ever tell you anything or do anything?
Oh, yeah, some of them would. This one is not bad. He was trying to learn to speak English and that, and he's all right. He'd kind of help us out. He said, after all, he caught on to the. He said, he got into the smoke. Snow. He said, I know why you have it, because you're a prisoner of war. That's why. And he'd try to give us a smoke or something. But he wasn't there too long with the Karantum, I don't know, but it took him away. I never seen him anymore. But he's only about the only other guy ever.
Was half a decent.
Half a decent, yeah.
And what were you doing on the docks? Mostly carrying stuff?
Yeah.
And
that's right, yeah. Yeah, mostly carrying.
When did you start to. Were you put in the hospital in Japan at all? You stayed up?
Yeah, I was in the hospital. I had pneumonia. Well, I was laying on the floor there, but I was cold. Kind of, I had a little heat in there, and what it was, I forget. But then I was there for a while, and I got out of it, and I went back to work again.
Where'd they put you for the hospital? Where'd they put you?
Straight in the camp, in a little room there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who looked after you?
Well, they had just there's nobody really. There's one of the Jap would come in once in a while and he'd give me a few pills and that. Well, there's a doctor there, I don't know, kind of American doctor. But he had nothing much to give us anyway. So
yeah, what did he
He did his best.
Did his best.
Were there more than Canadians in your camp? Who was in your camp? Do you remember?
Well, there's Hawes, guards.
No, but I mean, was it Canadians in there?
Oh, well, it's mostly Canadian first, and then later on there's Americans come. So we're pretty well mixed up this year.
Did they keep the Americans separate, or are we all together?
No, all together.
And what help were the Americans in?
When they first come, they were not too bad, but after everybody went to Bukusane.
Yeah.
Serious.
They went down to...
Yeah. I don't know what part they brought them, whether it's Manila or someplace, I don't know where they... that I don't know.
Were they treat the Americans as bad as you, or are they worse, or was it all the same?
Well, probably all the same. They didn't seem to care too much for the Americans at all, it seemed to be. I don't know. I don't know why, but it's on account of the Indian or Canadians, I don't know, but they pretty well treat them all the same. Yeah, I remember one time we were in the camp and come a heavy snow, and we had this one bunk, as I say, all the way on the side and went up on top. He had like a ladder to go up to sleep. So I was on top with this, I was down in the bottom with this Johnson. I forget his name, he's from around South. Just can't think of his name. But we had a blanket, we're sleeping together. And there's some timbers, you know, it's a fairly high place. So there's a guard, he comes around once in a while, and there come a storm that night, and I just looked up, I woke up, I could see the building coming on top, so I had no chance or whatever to get out. I just threw myself over. Well, my friend, he got killed. Timber hit him on the head, and he didn't know what happened. So we're jammed in there for about over, maybe a couple hours or so underneath, till the other guy's pulling the lumber off. A few got killed, I forget how many there was. But then I was for a couple of days I didn't work, but it was all squeezed in, so, you know.
Your chest?
Chest, but just pretty, felt pretty bad underneath. You couldn't move, and it seemed the weight coming on you. But then I was okay, that seemed to, I got over that, and I had this all right. Went back to work again, so.
When did you start feeling that the world was changing?
Well, that would be it. We had no news, whatever, no news at all, nothing. I didn't know what was going on, but still, I always had a feeling, in a way, that we'd be out of there someday, in a way. But there's, I'd say, a working day once there, but it's just about the end of the war. There was a guy come in from work, what do you understand? Jab, like, well, we understood quite a bit of it. He had a number off in Jab, and the roll calls and that, so you had to get out. Tell you what to do, you'd understand. You had to learn the hard way, it's one of the things. Yeah, so. Then one day I was in camp, and he come back. Scots guy, or English, he said, you know, he said, the war is over. Oh, I said, it's too good to be true. He said, you heard them Japs talking that the war is over. It seemed it was over, he said, we never knew. So the next day, well, we didn't go to work, but we carried wood. So I was helping this guy carry this wood. I said, well, if the war is over, I said, we wouldn't be carrying wood for our next winter. I said, so the next day, still didn't go to work. So the American officer came in the bunkhouse and he had us all together and he said, well, it's just tomorrow morning about 11 o'clock, there'll be small planes coming over the camp. American planes. So he just didn't say that the war's over like that, but he said, okay. That's all it was. It was the next day I was standing at the door, just thinking about something. I heard planes. I remember about four of them and they come and finally they found a camp and they come around and waving, you know, it's American. So, oh, good. And they dropped a parcel, I remember that, in the camp. he'd had a letter he received. Had his box of cards or something, and was just hang on, we're here now. So, very close.
What did the guards and the Japanese do with the camp?
They never done nothing. The next day, there, well, that evening, there, this one guy gives a speech, and he said to his officer, he said that, remember, he said, well, as you know, he says, we're being defeated, like, he says, Great Britain and Americans, well, like, they had no chance, you see, they had a, so everything, the gates are open, and they're all gone.
They disappeared fast.
So then we'd go out of camp, around town and different places. And the next day, well, I had a map, their letter, they said the B-29s were coming in. Americans dropping us their food and that, clothes. So next day they come over and dropped all the, for about over a day and a half or something, we're carrying in stuff.
Yes,
cases and cases of stuff.
Bet you couldn't believe it.
No. And clothes and everything, so we just had a big, good bath and put American uniforms on. There's lots to eat and everything, so.
I bet you felt like crying.
Yeah, sure. So we're there for about a week, and then we had a train there. Maybe four days in or so, they stopped the train out there, and then we got on the train, come down.
Did anybody come to your camp, any American come to your camp, or did you guys just get on a train yourself?
There's one American, I think, American come to the camp. Yeah, got us on this train. Yeah, there's Americans come. Sometimes I think about it all, but there's something and I forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Well, do you remember your first meal at the camp? Do you remember the first time you really sat down and had a real Canadian meal, American meal? You know,
American meal, yeah. That was on the ship.
On the ship, you sat down.
Yes. We had everything to eat. This ice cream and everything. Really, this stuff. Treated us real good. We had coffee and stuff, and at the support we got on, I can't think of a name now, but I remember there's American nurses and a whole bunch that had doctors all over the place, and tables, and give us coffee, everything.
Did you know how much you weighed when you came out of the camp?
I would say I weighed about 110 pounds.
And do you remember how much you weighed when you joined
up? Oh, around 100, about 150 or something like that.
155.
Yeah,
okay. Because you're not a big man.
No. But then I was pretty fat, and then I was.
You were husky.
Husky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And.
So after when we got on the ship, we come to Hawaii. So when we had this good meal on the ship, then I swelled right up. A lot of us went like that, all puffed right up. We had this berry, you know.
Yeah.
Puffed right up again. Well, I said, we had quite a while till I come home. But finally, gradually started going away.
Did you feel sick?
Well, yeah.
You didn't feel good?
I didn't feel good, no. Right. I know in Vancouver, we're there. When I come through to the States from Hawaii, we went to Frisco, San Francisco. Well, you couldn't buy them, but I remember the Americans gave us $20 a piece, $20 bill each every month. And you could have your free beer or else have a go on a show or something. And you couldn't spend your money anyway, so they gave us everything free, like razors and everything.
Just treatment.
Beer. I'm on a train to Seattle. So, and then from Seattle we come to Victoria. And that's where we were there for about a week or so.
Did you phone home or did you get word home? When did you write your first word home?
I think it was in Victoria. Okay. Yeah, Victoria. Yeah, I took a bit of pictures, I remember that, and then put it in the paper, I guess, and that mess with it. Some guy down here has seen it. But I remember took it over to the old people and showed them.
Yeah. Was your mom and dad alive?
Yeah, they were. So there's a colored doctor there, Victoria, and he told me to stay for a while. And so I said, well, I was away for about 4 years, and I think I better get home.
You wanted to stay because of your health?
Yeah, that's right. But I felt not bad. I would take treatment all the time. Your odds are number 3 wireless up there. Mm-hmm. I get sick leave, I'd go back and get myself in the army all winter. Mm-hmm. But then they told me not to take any drinks or anything too much bitter. But I think pretty well every day, if I had it, I'd have a beer. But still, I was in the, I felt not too bad. Some of them had it tougher, you know what I mean? Some of them were, some were poor in health than others, some just made it home and then they're gone. Not too bad, my stomach is not too bad. Pretty good.
How about the berry? Did it go away and leave you, or do your feet bother you?
Well, my feet still bother me. I mean, they're shooting pins and hit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legs.
So you're left really with that?
Yeah, I really left with that.
Mm-hmm. Did you get.
But I got off all this. I'll tell you what, just like right now, I'm awful nervous and that, like shaky, as shaky, you know, I can't.
You're tense?
Yeah. I take some of these pills and that for them. Every time I go back to your office, I call them back every 3 months or so. The psychiatrist, my doctor there, Marsh, you see, I couldn't sleep and I get awful mad and I'd want this wrong. Depressed way all the time.
You got edgy.
Edgy, and I couldn't sleep, rather jump on around the bed, you know, night mirrors and all this. So I saw Brown. Few psychiatrists I've seen. Mm-hmm. They keep changing off, you know.
Did you work when you came back?
Yeah, I worked for a while. I worked down the yards, the government yards. Then I worked for farmers in different places around. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to the bushing and cut out.
When did you get married?
Pardon?
When did you get married?
Well, I'm not married.
Oh.
But I'm just common law.
Oh, I see.
That's about 6 years or so. 5 years now.
Okay. So in other words, the worst thing you were left with is bad nerves.
Yeah, really.
And
of course, I don't know, I get legs from that, it's not so good, numbers so good, and I'm of course getting older too, and that,
yeah,
and
that's creeping. It,
but my legs are not so good either, you know.
Has the doctor helped you?
Oh, I think so. I used to give me some kind of pills. There's for nerves. If you get, sometimes you get depressed if somebody says anything too much or something too wrong to me. Well, I get so mad, you know, I know it over, but it's.
And then I
go out. If I go out, if she gets me mad, well, or something, I just kind of bugs me or something. Well, I just can't take it.
Yeah.
I go out maybe and start drinking or something. Well, that's, and the doctor says no good. Just take it. One of them pills, and I guess it's supposed to take no more than 3 a day.
I think the hardest thing for you is to have to sit around.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I gotta have work or something. She told me that too. I need work.
You need to be busy?
Neither busy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have your mind occupied, like sitting around, like it's no good, you know.
No good at all.
No.
So, it would be nice if you could have a little farm or something.
Yeah, it would be. Should have stayed down home too.
Did you go back to your dad's farm?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, I bought a little place. I just bought an acre of land, like for more or less for a garden. And mm-hmm. Sold it down here, about 6 miles away. But then it wasn't, there's no running water or nothing like that, so.
It wasn't handy?
Wasn't handy, and then if I did, I don't suppose I could drive a car. I get too nervous for driving a car.
Yeah,
okay. I used to drive years ago before I went to the Army, I used to drive a car. But now I never bothered. I'd work here in town, but I'd hitchhike most of the time. Some of our neighbor would be working in the same place. I'd have a transportation with him.
If you live 6 miles out there, the girls couldn't go to school.
Pardon?
The schools would be hard for the girls.
No, there's a bus goes now.
Oh, the
school bus.
Oh, yeah.
So then I got this place here. It's a little handier, but it, of course, costs more living. But then I just got to watch myself because otherwise.
Are you on pension?
Yes.
Did you get
a
full pension?
Well, it's 50%.
Well, you need really to get full pension.
Pardon?
You should have full pension.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it all? Do you hate the Japs, or have you done all that early?
Oh, I guess I'm going to forget about it. Get
out of me. You don't hold any grudges?
No.
When you first got out of the service, did you miss your buddies? You miss that community spirit. Some of the guys had a hard time going on their own, you know.
Yeah. I didn't miss it too much.
Did you remember you were all together all that time?
Yes.
Somebody telling you when to get up, somebody and then you had to change your life.
That's right, yeah.
And you had to come home and make your own decisions and everything.
Yes.
Of course, the Army took care of you for first year anyway.
That's right, yeah.
Well.